We'll continue the reading from the Gospel of John in chapter 21, picking up the narrative at verse 9 and proceeding. We'll read through verse 17. Listen to God's word, among other things. Listen to God's word. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Okay, help me make this distinction. I was thinking about this just this morning, so I didn't have time to look it up. In management principles, there are two principles that have been talked about a number of years ago, maybe even a couple decades ago. One of them was the Peter principle. Anybody remember what that was? And the second one, for distinction, was Murphy's Law. Do you know? Tell me if I've gotten these straight. The Peter principle says that that people will rise in promotion to the level of their incompetence. Is that right? In other words, you're promoted to this job because you did such a good job here, you're promoted here, you're promoted here, and eventually you're going to get to a job where you don't know what you're doing, okay? So I think that's the Peter principle, right? Was it Peter Drucker or somebody who wrote that? I don't know. Doesn't matter. Murphy's Law, if I'm remembering correctly, says that anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Is that right? Say again? At the worst possible time. Well, see, I think biblically, however, we need to reverse those laws. I think we need to have something like the Apostle Peter principle, is that anything he could possibly do wrong, he probably would at the worst possible time. It's all throughout the New Testament. You gotta love Peter. I mean, he is just such a human being. He's just, if there was a show, if they had television back then, he would be on Apostolic Bloopers. I mean, it would just be every week you could check in, you know, they would say, "Well, what did Peter do this week?" And we could go and he could see this, you know, "Well, Jesus was walking on the water and Peter was in the boat and Peter said to the Lord, 'Lord, let me come to you.' And Jesus said, 'Okay, Peter, come on.' So Peter gets out there and walking on the water and all of a sudden the storms and everything and Peter starts to sink and he starts to drown. And so Jesus has to go over, walk over to him, pick him up, put him in the boat." Well, that, you know, that's Peter. Stuff like that all of the time. Sometimes he does say exactly the right thing. Like one time Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Peter is the one who says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says it's upon that rock, that statement of the identity of Jesus Christ, that Christ would build his church. So that was pretty good for Peter on that one. But the night that Jesus was betrayed, the night of the Last Supper, Peter went out of his way to do almost everything that could possibly be done to make it harder for Jesus. You may remember that when Jesus at the Last Supper went around and took the servant's towel upon him and wanted to wash the feet of the disciples, that he came to Peter, and what did Peter say? No way. You're not going to wash my feet. I can kind of in my mind picture Jesus saying, Peter, not again. Don't make this any harder than it needs to be. And he tells him that, you know, if you don't let me wash your feet, you can't have anything to do with me. Well, of course, Peter says, well, Lord, not only my feet, but, you know, throw the bucket over my head and wash the whole thing. But it was in a conversation that Peter had with Jesus where he gets in the way again. Because he brags to Jesus about how if everybody abandons Jesus, he'll be there. He'll go to jail with you. Luke records this for us. He'll die with him. It's out of that context. Jesus has just told Peter, Satan has asked or has been given permission to sift you like wheat. And the you is plural. He means all the disciples there. At least that's the way the New Revised Standard Version records it for us in the, what's in Luke. It's in Luke 20 or 22, I believe it is. Yeah, Luke 22. Simon, verse 31. Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift you all like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your own faith, now he's talking to Peter, that your own faith may not fail. And you, he points to Peter, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus is telling Peter, Satan wants to chew you up. And it's going to be hard. And you're going to fail. But when you've come back, repentance kind of means, you know, turning, a new direction. When you've returned, you need to strengthen the others. And it's right after that he says, you know, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison, to death. Three times, Jesus says, before the rooster crows tonight, three times, you will have denied three times that you even know me. And we know what happens. Well, even before we get to that one, there's the great scene on the Mount of Olives where the crowd, you know, the people, the temple guard and some others with Judas come to pick up Jesus because they know he's going to not be with the crowd of people then. And Judas knew that and leads them there and, you know, kisses Jesus on the cheek. That's the sign of who the one is to arrest. They move forward to try to arrest Jesus. And here's Peter again, pulls out a sword, cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And in the Gospel of Luke, who's the physician, Luke records that Jesus touches that ear and heals it. But again, it's like this stuff happening, this crucial moment. Peter gets in the way of it again. Jesus tells, you know, Jesus can have legions, thousands of angels at his command like that. You think those angels weren't ready to come down? You think they weren't just chomping at the bit to be released? Like my dog Bailey. who, when it's dinner time, we make him sit in the corner and we put the bowl down. He's just, give me the word. It's almost all he can do to restrain himself. Well, he often doesn't restrain herself and gets there. You think those angels weren't ready to fly down there? Peter got in the way of it. Then he follows Jesus to the courtyard of the home of the high priest, and he's out there warming himself around the fire. And again, Luke records this in a way that just goes to your heart. Three times, Peter is asked if he's one of Jesus' disciples or if he knows him. Three times he says, no, I don't even know him. Other gospels record that he swore. He used cursing the third time. And then Luke tells us that right then, that third time, the rooster crowed. And then Luke tells us, and Jesus looked right at Peter. They made eye contact. And then it says that Peter realized that what Jesus had said to him now was fulfilled. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Can you imagine if we put ourselves there when we failed someone we've loved like that in such a significant way, and eye contact is made? Every time we fail Jesus, he's looking at us. The presence of God and Son Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, sees us every instant, knows everything we do. But in that moment, for Peter, that knowledge became a very living reality. So here it is, after the resurrection. And you know Jesus loved Peter. Three places in Scripture, two of the Gospels and one in the Apostle Paul, we get some hint of something that would that we knew more. Mark tells us in the narrative of Easter morning that when the women went to the tomb, there was an angel there. I think for Mark it's rolled the stone away, and the angel was actually sitting on the stone, I think the way Mark records it. And the angel has conversation with the women and tells them that Jesus, has the one you're looking for, is crucified, has been raised. And then he says this, Mark says this, has the angel say this. Let me read it right from Mark. I know it, but I want to read it. He's been raised. He's not here. Look, there's the place where they laid him. But go tell the disciples. You got it, Mrs. K. And Peter. Right there, it says it. Verse 7, Mark 16. But go tell the disciples and Peter. Make sure you tell Peter were the instructions that the angel was given to tell them. That Jesus has gone ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him as he told you. Make sure you tell Peter. And then in Luke, when the two disciples who encountered Jesus on the road to Emmaus race back to the 7 miles, back to Jerusalem after they've been with Jesus and he disappears, and they go to the disciples and they find them, and that same hour, Luke tells us, chapter 24, verse 33, that same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together, and they were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed." This is what the disciples told them. "We know the Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Peter. Peter's known by Simon, Simon, Peter, Cephas. Those are all, that's Peter. The disciples know the reality of the resurrection. They didn't believe the women when the women came and told them, but Jesus appeared to Peter. The Apostle Paul, in the mini treatise on the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, starts out that section by saying, "For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scripture, and that he appeared to Cephas and the 12. It was part of the knowledge within the apostolic community that the Apostle Paul knows. The other disciples knew because they told the Emmaus Road disciples that Jesus appeared to Peter. Wouldn't you love to have heard that conversation? Jesus loved Peter. He loved his humanity. He loved his enthusiasm. Would that we were all like Peter, and in some ways we are, because they could make a television show of bloopers out of all of our lives, but it wouldn't be very funny, a lot of it. Peter failed. And you don't fail much more than that. Pastor Steve last week preached on Peter and Judas and somebody else, Old Testament, who was it?
David and Bathsheba.
David and Bathsheba, yeah, thanks. I mean, you can certainly make the case that Judas really, really, really blew it, sure. And the difference between Judas and Peter is that Peter didn't end his life in despair. He went back to the community. Even though he had failed the master, he went back to the disciples. See, there's strength in community. And when we're weak and when we're failed, that's when we shouldn't isolate ourselves. That's when we need each other. Jesus loved Peter. There's so much more I want to say, but I think I will take the time to say it as best I can next week rather than just rattle it off now. We all fail. The love of God comes to us through Jesus Christ, who died for our sin, who rose for us, and wants the world to know that he conquered death and rose from the dead. But he wants you to know it. He wants me to know it. Tell everybody. Tell the world. But maybe there's someone you need to tell. Maybe there's someone you know who needs to know that failure isn't the end of life. That's why Jesus died. That's why he conquered death. And he wants the world to know, and he wants you to know, and he wants them to know. Because Jesus told that angel. He might have even grabbed him by the wing before before he went down. You tell those disciples, make sure that those women tell Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.